Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for jumping on board. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, and on Facebook as well. Jam-packed show ahead. Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Analyst Insider. Pedro joins us every week, Valley resident. What a great day to have Pedro after the baseball playoffs last night. I watched almost all of the Giants and Nats game last night. And I've said before, I love baseball, but it's just hard to say I'm taking 3 hours. And actually yesterday with the Dodger game, I watched some of that. I wanted to see why Puig was out and why if Kershaw could hang in there. And unfortunately now, if you're a Clayton Kershaw guy, he's not a postseason big game pitcher in most people's minds. We talked to Pedro about that. Also, the Diamondbacks' managerial search, some of the names that are out there, run them by Pedro. So a meat sandwich, so to speak, with Pedro Gomez, all things baseball, coming up in about 15 minutes. Michael Fabiano. Hey, so fantasy football guy, you're 5 weeks into your season, and there's all these running backs. My inbox is overflowing with, should I take this guy or that guy off the waiver wire, trades, all sorts of stuff. Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network, NFL.com, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. Michael Fabiano joins us every Wednesday on the show for all your fantasy football needs. That comes up at about 10:50. Gene Kilroy is going to join us. There's a movie coming out Friday, I Am Ali. And, of course, Muhammad Ali is a big part of the Phoenix area. We see Muhammad at various sporting events, primarily at Suns and Diamondbacks games. Through the years, I've been fortunate to be with Muhammad Ali at several charity events around Celebrity Fight Night. There's a new movie about Muhammad that I think they actually got it right. There's audio tapes of Muhammad that he kept through the years. Think about this. Muhammad Ali can't speak now, really, because of Parkinson's. And through the years, he would have recordings. Maybe it was because of the Nixon era and the tapes that were made that he decided to make tapes himself. Nonetheless, this movie has the actual tapes of Muhammad Ali, has his daughters talking about him, has his business manager, who's going to join me, Gene Kilroy, in hour number two, about Muhammad Ali in this new movie that comes out on Friday. So very much looking forward to that. Something a little different. Tomorrow we're going to be in Tucson doing the show from the U of A football facility. U of A with their showdown, ranked 10th in the nation for the Wildcats against USC on Saturday night. We will be in Tucson. Very much looking forward to that. Jake Plummer will join us on the show tomorrow. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top, in the beautiful White Mountains. You've never been to the White Mountains before, you say. Google search White Mountains. I'm sure the Honda Resort and Casino is going to show up on that. You go east in Arizona, northeast, it is beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And the elevation this time of year, the leaves are changing. So during the day, you can head on out, explore, hike, camp, whatever. You may have your second home up there or your main residence. You know what I'm talking about. It's beautiful. But the Honda Resort and Casino is a place you can go to morning, noon, night. And you can play the slots. You can play some great games, have some fun, eat some food, or just stay there and get out of the hustle and bustle and decompress at the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains, Honda Resort and Casino. So the Cardinals, Bruce Arians will have a 12-15, his usual weekly deal. 12-15 under the tree, we like to say, at the Cardinals facility.
Not
the
anymore.
The tree's not there, though.
Yeah, the tree's gone.
Tree's gone. The tree's out of here.
The tree has been removed.
Yeah. So,
and for those of you that don't understand, the tree is this huge, what was it, like a, I don't know, not an oak tree, but just
no,
like
it wasn't
a big
oak tree.
Fir
oak
tree or something that
it
the Cardinals...
sap on you.
Yeah, that the Cardinals have been doing their press conferences under since they arrived in the Valley, I think, or since they were at that facility in Tempe.
So now they have this little backdrop in the office that you can go to, or it's outside.
Yeah, they're renovating.
Yeah.
Cardinals win 10 games, they get renovations. That's
fine.
Cool. I get it.
Television ratings are up because people are watching.
Of course.
Of course they're watching. The team's good.
Hey, you know what? I'm in favor for it.
Yeah. Why would they not watch? If the team's good, they're going to watch. This is not breaking news. When the team blows, they're not going to watch.
Except the Diamondbacks broke record numbers for their TV ratings and almost lost 100 games. But that's a whole other story.
People
right?
like train wrecks, right?
Indeed. And it was a long train wreck.
I mean, it was a big train. It was like, boom! So, No, so they signed Dennis Dixon. It's fine. Dennis Dixon's been around longer than Eric and I combined, I think. I remember him at Oregon. Carson threw again yesterday. Bruce Arians does a weekly satellite show that I listened to last night. He said that Carson threw yesterday again. And he reiterated what he said Monday, which is the guy needs to play in a practice all the way through, and then we'll have a much better idea about if he'll be able to go or not. And Stanton's not been cleared yet as well. So that means it could be the Logan Thomas show against Washington on Sunday. Now, Washington stopping the run, they weren't able to do it. And yeah, it was Russell Wilson and it was Marshawn Lynch. But I'm thinking Andre Ellington is probably licking his chops. And is this a good spot to play Logan Thomas? Well, he may not have any choice. If the two are not able to go, then Logan Thomas could be the guy. I had Peter King on yesterday. Peter King joins us every week, Monday Morning Quarterback, NBC Insider, SI.com, one of the best in the business. And I talked to him about Tom Moore. I think Tom Moore being on this staff, could you imagine Logan Thomas on some of these bottom feeder teams being thrown to the wolves? We see these quarterbacks that get overrun. And here's Peter King on number two, Eric, here. Logan Thomas could have success if he has to play on Sunday.
One of the reasons why Tom Moore and Bruce Arians are good for Logan Thomas is that they take what he does well, which is throwing the ball downfield. And that's one of the strengths of those guys, especially with Bruce. He loves throwing the ball downfield. You know, to him, dink and dunk ought to be a curse word or a curse phrase because he wants to challenge people downfield. And that's why in a week like this, where Logan Thomas might play against a very, very aggressive Washington front, I would say, hey, good. Let's throw the ball deep a few times and see how aggressive that front is and see how aggressive their safeties are.
But I think it's interesting when you hear someone like Peter King, who's covered the NFL for over 30 years, and he's dealt with Tom Moore when Tom Moore was with Peyton Manning. And I asked him what makes Tom Moore such a great coach, because it's all about Arians, and it should be, right? But you have to understand, when there's someone that's been in the league for 50 years coaching at the quarterback position, how valuable that is to someone like Logan Thomas.
The one thing I would say about Tom Moore, and one of the reasons why Peyton Manning really, really liked him as his coach for so long, is that he's totally, totally unflappable and believes that it doesn't matter if you're playing a game where you're a four-touchdown underdog. I mean, that doesn't happen in the NFL. But no matter what the odds would be, Tom Moore would convince you in a very quiet, understated way by Tuesday night when the game plan is done, and he calls you and he says, Peyton or Logan or whoever the case may be,
sure,
we got some really good plays in the plan this week, and you know we're going to make some big plays in this game. Here's what we can see. In a very quiet way, in an understated way, he fills you with the confidence that we're going to give you the kind of plays and personnel packages in this game that are going to give us a great chance to win. You just have to execute them.
How comforting is that? To have someone like that, that on Tuesday night picks up the phone and calls and says, here's the deal, young man. This is what we see, and that you believe him, and that this guy did this for Peyton Manning, and now he's doing it for you. If Carson Palmer plays, it's fine. It'd be the same way with Tom Moore, with Carson Palmer, or Stanton. But if it's Logan Thomas, who's just being thrown into the fire after a short stint last week, I think if you're a Cardinal fan, you have to feel pretty good about that. Look, in my mind, Eric, am I wrong in this? They should beat Washington and they should beat Oakland, okay? They're a better team. Even with all the injuries, they still have their skill players. I think they win these two games these next 2 weeks.
I think so, too. And I think they're catching the Redskins at a good time. They had to play Monday night. It was a physical game. They have a short week. They have to come across the country, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. You know what? Actually, it does matter. It all factors in. Any little advantage you can get is a good thing.
Well, because here's the thing. You're going to be in ups and downs and peaks and valleys every year. It was like last week, the overreaction week on the Patriots. What did the Patriots do? Patriots just went nuts on Cincinnati the other night. Like, come on, guys, really? Are you going to question us and what we're all about? You know, the Giants are the same way. If the Cardinals played the Giants now, the Cardinals would lose to the Giants. It's just the way it is. The Giants have figured it out. Offensively, the Giants have finally figured it out. So the Cardinals, I'm not going to say they got lucky, but in the course of an NFL season, you're going to go through your peaks and your valleys. And I think they win these next 2 weeks. You get Carson rehabbed back. Stanton gets through his concussion. And the schedule, you have Philly and you have Dallas after that. Okay, so I'm looking at the way that things break during the course of a season. I don't get too high or too low off this stuff. You know, it's pretty easy behind microphones just to go, oh my gosh, the world's coming to an end and everybody's got to get involved. I think where they are right now, they're actually in a pretty good spot, even with all the injury. On the other side, the baseball playoffs in depth with Pedro Gomez. Good to be switching gears and talking some baseball here. ESPN Baseball Insider, Pedro Gomez, next, NCLS and the ALCS, they are all set to go. And we'll talk about the Diamondbacks managerial search too. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ.com, AZ Central Sports, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports 360 AZ.
I say y'all having a good time out there.
It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Always good to have Pedro Gomez on board, especially this time of year with the NLCS, ALCS all set. ESPN Baseball Insider analyst and Valley resident Pedro Gomez joins us. Are you in this holding pattern? Like, what? You're not at the airport yet, but have you been in that space where you have one ticket in one hand, one ticket in another, and you could either go one place or the other? Have you been in that spot before?
I have been in that spot, and basically, it's weird because a couple of times I've done that. It's either I'm heading to like Detroit, which is frozen, or you know, Houston, which is not something like that. So it has happened to me in the past, and you got to pack for every possible climate.
Where do you think you're going to end up?
I'm not sure.
Why are they waiting? You're Pedro Stinking Gomez. Why are they waiting? Don't they just say, hey, look, you're going to Baltimore or you're going to, I mean, come on, this isn't that hard.
No, I know. But, you know, we also have Buster Olney. We also have Tim Kirkchin.
Well, put him on the sideline for crying out loud. So you don't know where you're going.
Brad, I'm going to have you call my bosses.
Come on. What is the deal here? Where would you like to go? Which do you think is the better, more compelling
story?
Well,
I just spent a lot of time with the Royals. And they're a blast to watch, and the way they play the game, and really the way that team was built too, to watch the seeds that they planted years ago finally, you know, start to give. And so I would probably prefer to do KC in Baltimore, but whatever.
Yeah. Well, you can reacquaint with Buck and all that stuff. It's fine. I'll get into those series in a second. Let me just, because the lists are endless of the names that the Diamondbacks are going to interview. First of all, why do you think they're being so public about releasing names? It's very different.
It is very different. And it struck me the moment that they tweeted out the initial list.
Right.
It was like, wow, I don't ever remember a club doing anything like this. The only thing I can think of is that, you know, they've taken so many hits here locally as well as nationally in terms of how they've run their organization that maybe they just want a period of transparency where, hey, look, this is our list. But it also strikes me that whoever they hire may not even be on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, okay. So let me just throw some names and give me 15 seconds
sure.
on 10 seconds. Okay. So Sandy Alomar Jr.
You know, he's going to get his shot at some point. But I don't see a lot of connections with Stu and La Russa and Deshaun Watson, so probably a long shot.
Jay Bell.
Obviously local ties, local name, played for the club, but not sure that he has the connections again to that threesome that is running the club right now.
Phil Nevin.
Interesting name. Very little experience. Because he just started managing at the minor leagues, but he's in the organization, and it might be one of those people that he's already a Diamondback, so let's at least give him an interview, but he's probably going to be a manager. I don't know if it's going to be right now.
Jim Tracy.
That's an interesting one. Tony La Russa has a lot of fondness for Jim Tracy. Jim Tracy has managed before. He's managed in difficult situations, whether it was Pittsburgh, I would say wild card.
Yeah. Did you like him at Colorado?
Very much. He's a very, very good baseball man. And He's an interesting choice. When I saw his name on the list, it jumped out at me because I know that Tony La Russa has a lot of respect for Jim Tracy. So that's why I think he is more than just a name on there. A
couple other names. Don Wakamatsu.
Again, local guy, played at Arizona State, used to live here in Ahwatukee. I just talked to Wak about this last week when I was with the Royals, and he's obviously very intrigued, very interested. Did not have a good opportunity when he managed Seattle because the roster was so thin at that point. Mm-hmm. Highly thought of. I would put him under the long shot category, though.
One last name, Turner Ward.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. He's already here in the organization. Has never managed. So that puts him at a long shot. But we know that guys who have not managed have gotten these jobs in recent years. Mm-hmm. Guys like Mike Matheny and Robin Ventura. So I wouldn't discount it, but I don't know how strong his ties are to La Russa and Stu and these guys. So again, long shot. That's why I think the name could be somebody that's not on the public list.
Like?
Somebody with maybe a St. Louis tie, like a Mike Aldretti, like a Jose Oquendo, somebody that Dave Stewart has strong ties to. Maybe a Terry Steinbach, who has been a bench coach with the Twins, who has La Russa and Stewart ties, mm-hmm. somebody like that.
Is this a good job, though? I mean, you have to think of it from that perspective. If you're the guy wanting it, a lot of guys want to be involved with an organization. We also don't know how much turnover there's going to be. I'll get it over the Dodger thing in a minute with Mattingly. We don't know the jobs that are going to come open. So, Pedro, is this a good job, or is this one of those, I'm going to go there, I'm going to build my resume, but I know I'm going to get blown out after 3 years?
It could turn into a good job because, yeah, it's going to be difficult for them to win in 2015.
Yeah.
But we've seen in baseball, it does not take that long to turn things around. So it could. And now with a new front office, it could become a very good destination for some players. And I would say that it could very well turn into a good job.
Okay. How difficult of a decision is this going to be just to get Stewart and La Russa together? Or do you believe that this is 80% Tony and 20% Dave?
Or do you know
both of them very well. So that's why I'm wondering, how are they going to come to a consensus? You know both of them so well that La Russa and Stewart are going to agree that this is our guy.
I would say it's going to be more of a 60-40, maybe even a 50-50 type thing. And I think that it's going to be somebody that both of them say, yes, this is our guy. And I don't think it's going to be that difficult a decision once the right guy walks through the door and interviews.
Pedro Gomez with us. Okay, so let's move over to the games themselves. I'm looking at the Giants and the Cardinals, and I know there's going to be a lot of, oh my gosh, it's the Giants and the Cardinals again. But I have to tell you, watching the Cardinals and what they've been able to do for the fourth straight NLCS, explain this, you know? They built from within. You have guys like Miller and Carpenter and Adams and Rose. You have all these guys that have come together. Just talk about the Cardinals, and are you like, oh, geez, we have the Cardinals and the Giants again? Or are you just, this is fine?
No, I think it's great, and I think you should be rewarded for building from within. And really, when you look at both the Giants and the Cardinals, both those rosters are about 70% original players from those organizations. And it's a testament to what they do in terms of player development. And you should be rewarded for player development. And really, when you look at the Royals and even the Orioles, there's not a lot of players that are from other organizations. Mm-hmm. They are, for the most part, original draft picks or signees from international signings, you know, from Venezuela or Dominican Republic, whatever, and you should be rewarded. And in the case of the Giants and the Cards, you're looking at two of the longer tenured general managers. You're looking at clubs that have had very stable managers, because Mike Matheny is only the second manager the Cardinals have had in about 20 years. And in the Giants' case, it is the third manager they've had in about 20 years, when you include Baker and Felipe and then Bochy. Mm-hmm. So you see the benefits of not shaking up the deck every couple of years. And I think it's it's great when great organizations that are run very well are in these positions, and I don't think it's a coincidence when you see the Giants for the third time in 5 years in this stage, and you see the Cardinals for the fourth year in a row in the NLCS. On the National League side, I think that it's not a coincidence. You're seeing what happens when you stick to a plan.
Is there respect between the Giants and Cardinals?
Immense respect.
Okay.
Incredible respect. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that what we just talked about right there, that there is very little turnover, that you see clubs that say, these are our draft picks and we're sticking with them. And these are our signees from overseas and we're sticking with them. And yes, you do see additions like, you know, a trade for a Hunter Pence, even a trade for a John Lackey. And that was giving up two Cardinal homegrown products in Joe Kelly and Alan Craig. But it was recognizing we need a starting pitcher
right. If
we're going to get to October this year. And that's what John Lackey has been able to give them.
Pedro Gomez with us. Before I let you go, is Mattingly going to lose his job?
I would say there's less of a chance of Mattingly losing it because I know that the owner, Mark Walter, very much likes him. But Ned Colletti may be in a little bit of trouble, the general manager.
Mm-hmm. Because of the bullpen?
Well, just because he's had so many years and a big, big payroll, and then they got exposed with a very weak bullpen and a thin bench. Things that really, if you have that kind of money to spend, you should not be in that position.
Do you agree with Puig not being in the lineup yesterday?
You know, only Mattingly knows the inner workings of why that decision was really made.
Yeah.
But I would say this, that Puig is an electrifying player. And for all his flaws, boy, you give him four at-bats, and he can do something in one of those four at-bats.
Yeah, you have to have him out there, Pedro. I don't buy into this notion that his swing has got a hole in it and it's not mid-July, thus you can't set him out there when it's a must-win game. You got to go down in flames with your best on the field.
Yeah, and he is a game-changer.
Yeah, sure.
He is a game-changer. You give him four at-bats, something, he'll do something in one of those four at-bats. It may be a double that he tries to turn into a triple and he's thrown out, but he's going to do something. He's going to do something to try. And that was a little odd.
What about Kershaw, now the view that he's not a big game postseason pitcher?
I'd still want him on my team.
I would too, but that narrative is out there today.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Who of the 30 clubs out there, who doesn't want Clayton Kershaw
absolutely.
At the top of their rotation? I'd like to hear from one of the 30 clubs that would not want him.
Yeah, I think that's... It's
if anything, Brad, and I talked to a front office guy last night about this, there may be something to the fact that when he's in the stretch, he might be tipping his pitches, or there's something going on
mm-hmm.
because you look at the opponent batting average from the windup and from the stretch, and boy, are they wildly different. And for somebody with that kind of talent, they shouldn't be. And you and I were here, Brad, in 2001, game six, Andy Pettit takes the mound for the Yankees, and the final score was 15-2 Diamondbacks. And well after the World Series ended, the Diamondbacks admitted we knew what he was throwing.
Yeah.
We knew every time what he was throwing because he was tipping his pitches.
Yeah. Safe travels. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Okay. All right.
It's Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, waiting to figure out, is it really that hard? Let's send Pedro to Baltimore or let's send Pedro to St. Louis. It can't be that difficult. Is it egos that they're trying to juggle and massage? Is it who's connected better? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know where you're going to send him yet? It's nuts. On the other side, I was going to talk to Pedro about this, but they put play clocks last night, 20-second clocks at the Fall League games, experimenting with that last night in between pitches. And also, A.J. McCarron is coming off as a bitter dude towards Nick Saban on the college football front. And an update on Taylor Kelly, that's all right around the corner. In about 15 minutes, Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy football analyst. Fantasy football guys, your team is struggling, your team is scuffling. We've got the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. And then in the second hour of the show, former Muhammad Ali business partner, Gene Kilroy. A couple of minutes, the movie I Am Ali debuts day after tomorrow on Friday. I want to talk to him about that and some Muhammad Ali stories. Of course, the champ is here in the Valley. Look forward to Gene Kilroy. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll be right back.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
Tomorrow we'll be in Tucson doing a show from the U of A headquarters. I'm excited for U of A and USC. I wish the game weren't at, 7:30 kickoff? Yeah, you know, my Saturday nights get jammed up. It's bad enough when you're watching football all day long. And then Saturday night, you got to wait around to watch the U of A-USC game. And that game's going to take 4 hours. They're going
to
throw the football.
Yeah, that's a real horrible problem, just having a day jammed up to watch college football.
11:30 at night? Wow. I'm going to need a nap during the day just to be up for that game at night. What are you talking about?
You can sleep during the week.
Sleep? We work here. We slave away at this. Come on. You kidding me? So the Fall League, Eric, did you see this last night?
We did. We talked about a little bit last week when you were out of town about how they're tinkering with some of the MLB rules, at least in the Fall League, to try to speed up baseball games. Good luck. Let me know how that goes.
20-second clocks. So for me, I'd rather have to be like 10 seconds. Let's just get the ball and throw. I don't care about stolen bases. Don't care. Don't care about what it does to the record books long term. I want to get in. I want to get out. I'm not in the millennial generation, but I feel like having four kids, they've programmed me to let's speed things up. There are times where I say the pace, like last night's Giants-Cardinals game was wonderful to watch. Didn't feel like at all that the game was going slow, that there was anything along those lines. 20 seconds, though, boy, I don't know. Maybe like in the eighth and ninth inning, speed it up to 15. That would be kind of fun. Change the game up. That caught my eye. This story out of Alabama. So A.J. McCarron, he had the trophy girl. What was her name?
Webb.
Yeah.
Whatever. First
Jennifer
name
Webb?
No, I can't remember. Something Webb.
Webb. Catherine Webb.
Catherine Webb.
Yeah, Catherine Webb. So he's got this hot girl that Brent Musburger is drooling over on the air and acting like a high school senior checking out a freshman on campus,
yep.
I guess.
Now his fiance.
Not Brent's, AJ's. So AJ has this weekly show in Tuscaloosa. Of course he does. When Taylor Kelly's done, we're going to give Taylor a weekly show. Or, well, let me think. Give me a Sunday. We'll have the Jalen Strong show for the next 5 years while he's still in the NFL. That makes a lot of sense. When Jake was gone, he should have had his own weekly show to analyze the college program. And oh, by the way, A.J. McCarron is on the non-football injury list, reserve list for the Bengals. He's not even playing. So what does he do? He decides on his weekly show because Alabama, suddenly Nick Saban can't win. Nick Saban can't coach. Nick Saban doesn't know what he's talking about. Here is A.J. McCarron just blasting away on Nick Saban and talking about Lane Kiffin's offense with Alabama.
You know, I understand Coop's an unbelievable player. He was that for us when I was there. But when you target somebody so much, and I think that's one of the best things we did while I was there, is we spread the ball around to everybody. I mean, I think in numerous games, and Ryan will be able to tell you because he's the stat guy, but numerous games where, I mean, we had almost everybody on offense catch the ball that is eligible to catch the ball. And, you know, teams can never really, pinpoint and play their defense to cover Coop. And I think that's one of the things they're struggling with right now. I don't know if that's play calling. I don't know if that's reads. And you do have to get the ball to Coop because he's the best playmaker out there. But I think with D. White probably – I think he's a little banged up, battling injuries. It hurt. I'll tell you one person that I thought I would see a little bit more out there making plays and the offense going a little more towards him is Christian Jones. He was a huge playmaker for us while I was there. I looked for him all the time. If I saw anybody one-on-one with Christian, I'm going to him. And he's an excellent route runner. He's got good hands. I think right now just this last game, I didn't see a whole lot of talent and spreading the ball around the field. I think they were keying on Coop a little too much, and I think in the end it hurt him. And I don't know if that's, Lane doing that or if Coach Saban's kind of, put the handcuffs on Lane like I've known Coach do in the past, and on his offensive coordinator and kind of, you know, we're going to be very bland and run this play and do this, and then we'll, you know, throw it on third down if we have to. So it's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back against Arkansas this week and what type of offense comes out this week.
So, you know, that was a little long, but it's fine. The context of it, to me, was the end there. I don't know if that's Lane doing that or if Coach Saban is putting the handcuffs on Lane like I've known Coach to do in the past on offensive coordinators. And we're going to be very bland and run this play and do this, and we'll throw it on third down if we have to. I'm sure that A.J. McCarron is getting blasted by some of the Crimson Tide faithful, and I'm pretty certain that there'll be some statement from A.J. McCarron saying, oh, it was misinterpreted. I didn't mean it to come out the way he did. Because, gosh almighty, if it's questioning anything in Alabama football. But I do think it's kind of funny.
And I think he actually has the right to say what he wants about the Alabama program. I mean, you're talking about one of, if not the most successful, winning, best big game quarterbacks in Alabama history. Regardless of what he does in the NFL, if he ever plays in the NFL, who knows? That guy, and you and I have argued about this for years.
He was never a Heisman guy.
It doesn't matter. Nobody played better in bigger games than A.J. McCarron.
Him. How many NFL guys were drafted around him?
Again, it comes back to, do you play well in big games? When the spotlight is bright, do you play well? And A.J. McCarron always had his best games in either like the BCS games or the national championship game or when they played
with
Auburn.
How many first-rounders in front of him or behind him
I'm just saying.
I thought he was average.
You know, if it was another Alabama quarterback that didn't have as much success, maybe
I thought it was average.
You need to go back and watch some of those Alabama games from the last three or
four
years.
I have way too much time on my hands if I'm going back and watching
them. Game is on the line. Alabama needs to go 80 yards to score a winning touchdown. More often than not, McCarron would lead them down the field.
I do think his point about the coach handcuffing people is an interesting thought.
And they're not as talented as previous Alabama.
No, they're
teams.
Not.
There's no Eddie Lacy.
No. I mean, I just look at their quarterback down there this year, and I've seen Alabama play twice. And to me, they look like a pretty good football team. They look great. I haven't seen a great football team. I don't even think Florida State is
they're
a
not.
Great football
they're
team
not.
This year.
They're
no,
not. I don't know
not.
If there is this year. I don't know if there is an elite college football team.
You know, and yesterday we had Brad Edwards on from ESPN. I kind of disagree with him on the whole Pac-12. I don't think it's that the Pac-12 is down a little bit. I just think that the days of having dominant programs, in my view, it's like these nitwit Texas fans that can't seem to figure out for the life of them why their team blows and they want to get rid of the coach already. And Steve's feeling heat down there. It's because your program was a shambles. Nobody was drafted. You've got people that have transferred out. They made horrible decisions. So the days of having dynasties, I mean,
guys like Caleb Jones, who transferred out and is now blowing up for U of A.
Six touchdowns this season. He's leading U of A in receiving yards. You don't let those guys just walk out on your program. So, you know, I like change. I would be devastated if we had to have Ole Miss out here in the Fiesta Bowl. I'd be like, you gotta be kidding me. We have Ole Miss out here. Nice story. It's Oxford.
It's going to be a week to week thing though, Brad. Like every,
is that W E E K or W E A K?
No, W E E K. Like this week, everyone's hot on TCU. Everyone's hot on Ole Miss. Everyone's hot on Mississippi State. Well, guess what? By Sunday morning, we could have another couple teams that are everyone's darling for a week or two, and then when they lose, that's just how it's going to be. The only team that might not lose a game this year is Florida State because their schedule is so soft the rest of the year.
Where do you go to coffee every morning?
Dutch Bros.
Okay. Your favorite Dutch Bros is a drink is what?
White Russian.
So if I say White Russian and I bring you coffee next Monday, right, if TCU beats Baylor, Baylor will beat TCU. And when Baylor beats TCU, you bring me a White Russian.
I'll take that bet.
Fair?
Yeah.
All right. So we have a coffee.
Make sure you go back and study the last 3 or 4 years of how that game's those
Baylor
games
will
out.
Beat TCU. I don't need
and the
to
smart
study.
And if you're going to Vegas, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a TCU grad, smart money is on the Frogs. 10.5 is just way too many points.
Here we go. And we're just going straight up, right?
Just straight up.
Straight up. Win, loss. Don't care about points.
Straight up.
Straight up. All right. We got Dutch Bros in on that. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford where it is, all about you. I guess I could have bet you a Santan Ford vehicle, but Dutch Bros is fine. And, you know, Tim would be fine with that, too. So I saw Tim Hovick yesterday. I swung by the dealership yesterday. Hadn't seen Tim in a couple of weeks. He was at the Cardinals game in Denver. We sat there and conversed about the Cardinals for, I don't know, about 10 minutes or so. He had to bolt, go across the dealership because he was closing a deal out. It's the way that it works at Santan Ford. People were coming in. It was busy in the showroom. Stopped in and saw a couple of other people there working away, doing their thing. Look, if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, think about the certified pre-owns. That's what we did. The Sesmad household, about a month and a half back, said, you know what? This Expedition, we've had it for a long time and rolled up a lot of miles. Great memories with our family and our kids, but three of them are out of the house now. Let's get into the Explorer. So I went to Santan Ford, walked around the dealership, found a certified pre-owned that made sense for us. Boom, get the deal done. We drive out. Wife is happy. Daddy's happy. It's the way it works, guys. Why are you waiting? There's no reason to wait. Stop on into Santan Ford. They're big in the Valley sports scene. Of course, they're a big part of what we do here at sports360az.com. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 and Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Tomorrow we'll be in Tucson at the U of A. Jake Plummer will be with us tomorrow. We'll be doing the show right from the football offices, Rich Rod's offices, and really looking forward to their game on Saturday night. Even if you're one of those ASU people that can't stand U of A, I don't know, can't you just seem to sit back and enjoy the ride? You could root for USC this week all you want. I would rather see U of A win. I want U of A to keep winning. Think of it this way. If U of A keeps winning and they play ASU late in the season, how sweet is that for U of A to try to knock off their arch rival? And if you're ASU, wouldn't you love to be the team that beat them? I don't get this. This is a good week for ASU fans to root for U of A. It is. You should find your way into this. If you'd already played U of A, different story. You want them to run the table. And then when you play them and you beat them, then you're happy. You're a U of A fan, keep doing this. This is a great ride. It actually gives people in Tucson something to talk about other than who are we going to play in the first round of March Madness and how am I going to get my tickets to watch us as a 1 or 2 seed against a 15 seed in March. You can actually watch a little bit of football now and enjoy it. Michael Fabiano is next. NFL Network, NFL.com. Get your fantasy football questions and answers ready. Waiver wire is big this week. All sorts of running back names you may have never heard of that are available for you. Talk some trades and other things with Michael Fabiano. Fantasy football is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you fantasy football insight you can't get anywhere else. With NFL Network and NFL.com fantasy expert Michael Fabiano, here's Brad Sussmat.
Time now, as we do every Wednesday, Michael Fabiano with us, NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst, the Hall of Famer with Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We should call this the weekly running back update with Michael Fabiano, because that's what this has turned into with fantasy football this season. Every week it's running backs. My inbox, Michael's overflowing with questions about Andre Williams and Brandon Oliver and DeMarco Murray. Where do you want to start this week?
Well, why don't we start with Oliver, a guy who, boy, he came out of nowhere last week, over 30 fantasy points. The Chargers' backfield is just ravaged by injuries right now. Ryan Matthews is out. Danny Woodhead's out for the year. Now Donald Brown got hurt. But Oliver showed that he can be a playmaker. And any small running back who wears 43 is automatically going to be compared to Darren Sproles. He kind of did look like Darren Sproles, maybe a little bit bigger. And with a matchup against the Raiders this week, I think you pick him up and you play him if you need backfield depth. There's no doubt about that. Very versatile, a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and the Raiders' run defense has not been good this year.
Okay, so, and I'll just break through rather than going by individual questions. I'll just combine all of them.
Okay.
I'm getting a lot of if I have to choose between, mm-hmm. and it's usually a combination of Oliver, Andre Williams, and Ronnie Hillman. And some sort, mostly Oliver and Hillman this week, because I think people are looking at the Broncos and seeing Monte Ball's injury. If you had to choose one of those two or one of those three, you would go with Oliver first because of the matchup.
Oliver first, Williams second, and Williams is a close second because of his matchup, and then Hillman third. Now, I know Oliver destroyed the Jets' defense last week, but they have been good against the run more often than not, so the matchup for Hillman's not that good. So if we're talking about just week six, Oliver is definitely the preferred running back of the trio, followed by Williams.
Where do you put Benny Cunningham of the Rams in all this? Because I'm getting some questions about him.
Well, it looks like Zach Stacy is going to be able to play on Monday night. But because it's a Monday night game, you need to make sure that if you have him, you either have Frank Gore, who they're playing against. This way you don't have a dead roster spot in your starting lineup. Or you pick up Cunningham as insurance. Because, God forbid, Zach Stacy is a late inactive. All the games have already been played. So you're sitting there looking at a big fat zero in your lineup. So pick up Cunningham if you have Stacy. But right now it looks like Stacy's going to be a go on Monday night.
How about Smith down in Atlanta, another running back I'm getting some questions about?
Yeah, unreal. This guy has had 9 or more fantasy points in 4 or 5 games, and Brady does it with one play every single week. You know, 45-yard catch, 70-yard run, whatever it is. And the guy just scores touchdowns. He's unreal. So he's risk-reward, though, because that backfield in Atlanta is crowded. And, again, his success is predicated on making that one big play. He's done it 4 of the first 5 games this year, so his percentage is pretty good. But he's not someone that I'm going to pick up and automatically put into my starting lineup. He's a guy that if I need backfield depth, maybe when we get back to the times when you have 6 teams on a bye, he's someone to use a flex starter. But he has been explosive, to say the least.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, Senior Fantasy Analyst, the Hall of Famer with Brad Susmat every Wednesday, Sports 360 AZ. Brian Quick over at the Rams. Mm-hmm. Where are you at on a receiver standpoint with Brian Quick?
He's been great. Listen, he's been finding the end zone. He's the one Rams wide receiver you can trust. It's not Tavon Austin, who has really been sort of a disappointment from a fantasy perspective and from a reality perspective, I guess, too. And he's got a really good rapport there with Austin Davis. So Quick is becoming a guy who you can start as a third wide receiver, a flex starter. I still think he's subject to the matchups, and the Niners' defense is pretty good. So I see him as a 3 this week, maybe a flex. But he's been putting up great numbers. He's on pace for over 70 catches and over 1,200 yards. Those are really good projections.
How about Justin Hunter? That's the other wide receiver from the Titans I'm getting questions about.
Yeah, you remember how much I loved him in the preseason? I said that this guy was a deep sleeper. Well, I guess better late than never, right? He didn't have much going for him in the first few weeks, but this past week, a very solid game. He's rosterable. He's not a must-start. But the good thing is that the Jaguars, Tennessee's opponent this week, have not been good defensively at all.
Right.
So Hunter's more of a 3-flex type for me this week based on the matchup. But he's got major, major upside. The quarterback position in Tennessee hasn't helped him, though.
Okay. Anybody else on the waiver wire? Because those are all waiver wire questions I was getting asked about this week. Yeah, anybody else?
Oh, there's plenty of guys right now that you can be picking up off the waiver wire and playing. And you just mentioned a bunch of them: Brian Quick, Andre Williams, Brandon Oliver. Don't forget about Dwayne Allen in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this guy isn't picked up in more leagues, but right now he's still a free agent over 60% of NFL.com leagues. Travis Kelce, he's got a bye this week, but if you need a tight end, pick him up and sit on him. Teddy Bridgewater, if you need a quarterback, 2 QB leagues. I wouldn't start him this week, but he's worth a look off the waiver wire. So there's plenty of guys out there. Matt Prater got signed by Detroit, and he's been one of the elite kickers in fantasy football. I know he's going from Denver to Detroit, but maybe that's a good thing. Detroit's offense is pretty darn good, too, and he's going to be playing more games indoors on turf. So Prater's a guy that if you don't have a great kicker, go out and get him.
Getting a lot of questions about DeMarco Murray, and it's mm-hmm. either the Cowboy fans, which you're one of those, and it's fine. It's fine. You're excited about him, but I'm getting the questions about workload and DeMarco mm-hmm. Murray, and can he keep up this pace, and should it be a concern for fantasy owners?
Well, I think the Cowboys are going to have to dial it back a little bit, but you know, Brad, we've been doing this segment for years, and you probably heard me use the term magical season.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning had the magical season last year. This year, DeMarco Murray's having it. And I really think when a player's having this magical season, all bets are off. He is going to be the guy. I really think he's going to put up a very, very good number at the end of the year. He's in a contract year. Remember, the Cowboys' offensive line is awesome. I mean, it could be one of the best, or is the best, offensive line in the National Football League right now. If you're worried about DeMarco Murray and you want to trade him, don't get anything less than elite return players, because he's the best player in fantasy at the most valuable position right now. It's between DeMarco and Marshawn Lynch. And the Cowboys are just going to keep pounding the ball. I mean, I don't like the matchup this week against Seattle in Seattle, but you've got to play DeMarco Murray regardless because of what the Cowboys are doing with the running game, with the offense. Is breaking down a possibility? Sure. The good thing is that he's young. He doesn't have a lot of wear and tear on his body. And again, he's motivated to play in a contract year, and he's running behind an offensive line that's just fantastic. So if you're worried about him, listen, I mean, you've got to go out and get Andrew Luck for DeMarco Murray. You've got to go out and get one of the elite wide receivers in fantasy football for DeMarco Murray. And I don't even know if there actually is one wide receiver straight up I would trade for DeMarco. Maybe Antonio Brown, but I don't even know that I would do that. I wouldn't trade DeMarco Murray for Jimmy Graham right now. That's how valuable he is. You'd have to get a lot to make a deal.
Yeah, and I'm not even getting questions about trading him. It's like the Cowboys going to start using him less. And if are they going to start rotating people through? That's
the
question.
He's on pace for 416 carries. That would tie the National Football League record set by Larry Johnson. And if you remember back to Larry Johnson's 416 carry season, he was the best running back in fantasy football. The next year, missed eight games, got hurt. Was never the same again. So I think the Cowboys realize that. Right now, DeMarco's averaging like 30 carries a game. It's ridiculous. So I think they do have to dial it back, but not to the point where he's not going to be productive for your fantasy team.
Calvin Johnson, what's the latest? Getting a lot of questions about Calvin Johnson.
He's got a high ankle sprain, which is the worst kind of ankle sprain, and it looks like he's going to be a game-time decision again in Week 6 against the Vikings. But in the meantime, and I always say, if Calvin plays for the Lions, he plays for your fantasy team. But, boy, I mean, they've used him as a decoy the last couple of weeks. Now, you'd have to be really deep at wide receiver to bench Calvin Johnson, but right now, at least you have to think about it, honestly, because he's done next to nothing the last couple of weeks. Maybe it's better that Caldwell gives him a couple of weeks to heal. In the meantime, Golden Tate's been a star. He's had 19 targets in his last two games. He only had 20 in his first three combined. And this week he's playing the Vikings, who have not been good against wide receivers on their home field. So the beneficiary of this Calvin Johnson injury hasn't been his fantasy owners, obviously. It's been Golden Tate.
Getting a lot of questions about Julian Edelman this week and how much longer to stick with him.
Good start, and the last couple of weeks he's struggled. He is still Tom Brady's guy, but Tom Brady is not play well. He played well last week, but that was the first time he had scored over 13 fantasy points in seven games, which is amazing to me. But I think you still got to stick with him. Unless you start two wide receivers and you're deep in the position, he's no worse than a three or a flex, especially if you're in a PPR league. I mean, these guys, people have to remember, these guys are humans. They're not going to put up great numbers every single week unless you're Peyton Manning, for example, or this year Andrew Luck. Most of these guys are going to have some down weeks, and that's just part of fantasy football. It's part of the NFL.
Got a question from Jared, and it's a trade question.
Okay.
He traded Cam Newton for Victor Cruz. He has Jay Cutler. He was able to get Cousins off the waiver wire.
Do you like
Victor Cruz short term?
Well, I like the fact that he traded from a position of depth, and I'm assuming he wasn't good at wide receiver, because he hasn't been Superman. I mean, that's for sure. He's averaging fewer than 15 fantasy points a game. He has 42 rushing yards all year. I mean, there had been times when he had 42 rushing yards in the first half of games, not even on pace for 200 rushing yards. Maybe that has to do with the ankle. Maybe that has to do with the offensive line. It could be a combination of both. But the fact of the matter is that that owner had Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's been one of the top four quarterbacks in fantasy so far this year. So you get rid of Newton, who's been a disappointment. You pick up Victor Cruz, who is hot and cold. But, again, a lot of players in the NFL are going to be like that, so I like that trade.
A couple other questions before we let you go. Andy, struggling with my defense. I have the Broncos and Bears. Anybody out there on the waiver wire?
I play the Broncos this week. Geno Smith, he's a turnover machine, and the Jets offense is struggling. So I actually like the Broncos this week. If you need to stream a defense, the Titans are a good play this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Chargers are a good play this week against the Raiders as well. So there's some definitely good streaming options out there, but I like the Broncos this week.
Before I let you go, anybody you really like this week that's not obvious?
Anybody that I really like? How about Andre Ellington? Let's talk about the Cardinals.
All right.
I mean, we're here in Arizona, at least you are, and I love this kid, and I liked him in the preseason. If you remember, I had him as a start last week, over 20 fantasy points. The Redskins were gashed by Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch in the running game this past week. So Ellington's a guy that I really like. He's going to start stepping up. He's going to start moving up, and especially with that Cardinals quarterback position being a little bit questionable, or maybe a lot questionable at this point.
Yeah.
They're going to use Ellington, and he's versatile, and there's nobody behind him on the depth chart that's taken his role. So Ellington's a really good play.
Talk to you next week, Michael. Thanks.
All right, my man. Take care.
Michael Fabiano, NFL Network, NFL.com, senior fantasy analyst. He joins us every Wednesday breaking down for fantasy football, for your waiver wire moves and everything tonight and tomorrow. It's great to have Michael Fabiano part of us. If you missed any part of that, you can check out the podcast. And, of course, we'll have it in written form on sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmatz. Stay with us. Off we go into hour number two, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmatz. Of course, we're on AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad Sussmatz, C-E-S-M-A-T, or at sports360az on Twitter as well. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. Fly on out of Gateway Airport in South Mesa. Just off the Santan 202 and the 60, Gateway can get you directly to Las Vegas, can fly you direct into Oakland, into the Bay Area, can fly you direct into Provo, Utah, nearly 40 different locations across the country. You can fly direct out of Gateway Airport on Allegiant Air. It's very simple to do. I've flown out of Gateway many, many times. Eric has flown out of Gateway many, many times as well. That's Gateway Airport, Gateway Airport, where it is just plain easy. A big part of Sports 360 AZ through the years. Some of the hot headlines on my mind today, the Cardinals getting ready for Washington on Sunday. They signed Dennis Dixon on the practice squad. Carson Palmer threw again yesterday. Bruce Arians said last night on his weekly satellite show that Carson Palmer needs to get through an entire practice before they decide if he'll be able to play or not on Sunday against the against Washington. And Drew Stanton's not been cleared yet, going through the concussion protocol. So at the quarterback position, if you're the Cardinals and you have the Redskins rolling on in, do you look at it from this standpoint that the running attack that Seattle threw at Washington the other night, Andre Ellington should have a big day. If you're a Cardinal fan, if you're a fantasy fan, yeah, Andre Ellington's got to be that guy for you this week. The running attack not been very good at all for the Redskins. So that game, of course, on Sunday, that's the Cardinals' next opponent. They have Washington, they have Oakland. Get through these 2 weeks against two teams you should beat. Even with all the injuries, I think the Cardinals are better than these two teams. And you're going to go through ups and downs through the course of a season. You're just going to. It's a good thing the Cardinals aren't playing the New York Giants now because the Giants are a much better team. In fact, I think the Giants are probably going to be tied for first place after they get through winning over Philadelphia on Sunday night. So interesting how the NFL goes through its ups and downs. In the NFC West, Seattle hosts Dallas. Yeah, Dallas been a surprise. I know Cowboy fans are pumped, psyched, geeked. DeMarco Murray going to run out of gas so at some point with all the carries that he's had. And the Rams will host the 49ers on Monday night. Suns lose Alex Len out with a fractured pinky. They open preseason tonight against Rio de Janeiro. The Dodgers are out. The Nationals are out in the baseball playoffs. We have the Giants and the Cardinals. And Alabama's quarterback, former quarterback A.J. McCarron, rips Nick Saban, says the handcuffs he's put on his offensive coordinators, part of the problems there. Some of what's on my mind in the world of sports brought to you by Gateway Airport. Gateway Airport, where it's just plain easy. I'm talking about the movie I Am Ali, which is coming out, of course, this Friday. Muhammad is here part of the year. And through the years, we've done quite a bit with Muhammad around Celebrity Fight Night, whether it's things in the community where we've seen Muhammad. He's very visible in Phoenix, especially in the wintertime. And this movie, I Am Ali, caught my eye from the standpoint of all the people that are going to be talking about Muhammad Ali. There's audio journals. We hear from his daughters, personal archives. One of the people that is a big part in his life in this is Muhammad Ali's former business manager, Gene Kilroy. And he joins me for a couple of minutes, good friend of Muhammad Ali's as well, to talk about this movie and why you should go check it out. I Am Ali, of course, a lot of Muhammad fans here in the Valley. Gene, thanks for coming on board. It's Brad Sussmatz. How are you?
I'm honored to be here and speak about this great documentary. I mean, there's been so many things done on Ali on television, but this is truly, you know, they talk about when we were kings. This documentary that Claire Leward, a young lady from the UK, she met with me and she liked the stories about Ali, and then she met with the kids, and I bragged to her about Ali's children and how much he loved his children, and how he'd love to be with his children, but he couldn't because the world put such a demand on him, being a worldly man, go here, go there, travel all over the place. And any time we traveled anywhere, we always had time for the children. He'd hug them, kiss them. I mean, here it is, like 30 years later, people came up to me, and she said, I was a little girl. I was like 2 years old. You see this picture? Here's a woman, 32 years old, Ali's kissing her on the cheek. This is my picture with Ali. And I asked him one time, well, why are you really like children? He said, I wish it was my children. They couldn't be with me because the world put such a demand on me. And, you know, this is the depth that Muhammad had.
So the movie comes out Friday. It's about 114 minutes. You had the nickname pinned on you as the facilitator. You were his business manager and good friend. When did you two first meet, Gene?
Well, I met in the Olympics in 1960 in Rome. I was in Munich, Germany, playing sports, and they needed an officer to sign vouchers for pay and passes for the guys on the Olympic team. So they called and asked me to recommend someone. So I recommended myself, and that's where we met. I remember walking down the street one time with, at that time, Cassius Clay, a young kid, 17 years old, and a beggar came up and asked him for money. And we, like Eddie Crooks was in the service, McClure was in the service, Don Bragg was in the service. They were getting paychecks. It wasn't that much, but it was, you know, enough to grab a coffee or something. So he had $8 in his pocket, and the beggar asked him, you know, do you have any money there, mister? And Ali gave him $5. And the guy, God bless you, walked away. I said, you know, Cassius, you just gave the man, you have $8, you gave him $5. He said, well, if he's lying, God's going to punish him, but I'll be okay. I gave him $5. I'll get the money back some way. God look out for me. And I thought, this guy has a lot of great depth about him. So when I came out with the service, I went with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he went into boxing, and we always stayed friends. And then when he was in exile, I put him together with an agency in New York, and he was doing the college lecturing. He did a, you know, he was the most demand guy in visiting the colleges with lecturing, you know. And then I explained to him about all the money he was spending in Miami at a training camp. So he said, we'll build our own, we'll get our own. So we put together Deer Lake, and I got Pete Morick Mitchum to come in and make a businessman out of him, where he knew this was a write-off, that was a write-off. It was a good move. You know, we complimented each other. There was no big eyes and little U's around us. And I was honored to be accepted by his family, his friends, accepted by the Nation of Islam, being a white guy. You know, I met with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he told me that there's a power greater than us to have you with us. Allah has you here because I feel your love for my brother. And I'm a blessed guy. And now today, being accepted by his children and there for them and his brother, and I was accepted in his mom and dad's house. You know, I was the pallbearer for his mother and his father. You know, it's an honor to be in that position and trust it.
Gene Kilroy with us, Muhammad Ali's business manager, good friend. The movie is I Am Ali, and it comes out on Friday this week. What does this film attempt to do, Gene, from your view?
Well, it relates. You know, you could look at a watch, but you don't know what's in the watch. This is a story about Ali, how he cared for his children, how he put a tape recorder together to record them and told them someday they're going to be able to listen. Like at those days, Dixon was recording everybody. I think that's where he got the idea. here he has, you know, he has the tape recorder and he's talking to his children and his friends. He's talking to John Conlon on one. He talked to George Foreman on it. But it has a lot of depth to it. It has a lot of story. It's a story with great continuity.
And they got it right, correct? Because, I mean, movies like this can sometimes have a little bit of Hollywood thrown in to spice it up. There's none of that in this, correct?
No, this girl, Clara Lewin, she did a great job. And she broke open her piggy bank to get this thing started and her credit cards. Just a good little person. And I do believe and I hope this thing can win an Academy Award, you know, because not only does she deserve it, Muhammad deserves it and his children. It brings out a whole new perspective of Muhammad.
Gene, I appreciate the time and the visit. Sounds great. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you for the time. God bless. Bye-bye.
Gene Kilroy, I Am Ali, comes out this Friday night. I just am fascinated with Muhammad, and obviously he doesn't speak much, if at all, now with Parkinson's having ravaged his body, but there's been so many Muhammad Ali stories I could share here that we've seen him out and about. Jason Kidd and I once emceed an event with him that he slapped my hand away because I tried to help him up on stage, Muhammad, and he wagged his finger at me, and then he went up on stage and he pulled out a deck of cards and did a bunch of card tricks, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I am Ali. It starts on Friday. Appreciate Gene Kilroy's time.